Hello everyone, so today I'm going to show you how we built Sybil, a system that allows high-level queries over internet routes by combining multiple measurement platforms with novel techniques to smartly decide which measurements to issue. So today, when a network operator has a routing problem outside of his network, he might approach it by issuing a traceroute to try to find where the problem is. So in this real example, an operator was having a problem on routes from level 3 in LA to GTT in Seattle. So the first thing this operator needs to do is find where along this route the problem is. So he might want to ask for routes that go through GTT in Seattle or through level 3 in LA to see which set of routes is experiencing problems. So in this example, the operators eventually tracked the problem down to a peer link between GTT and NTT in Seattle. But now that the operators know where the problem is, they might have many other questions. So they might want to know what are the routes that traverse that problematic link so that they can understand the extent of the problem. Or they might have many other questions. They might want to know which of their routes go through that problematic link so that they decide what they're going to do. Or they might want to know what outlet routes they have available that bypass that link. Or if they don't have an outlet route available, I mean, which provider in their region could give them such a route? So one of the ways that operators try to answer these problems today is by sending emails and exchanging emails on mailing lists, for example, the outages mailing list. Now, this approach has several limitations. First, that it takes time. And second, it requires cooperation from operators. So the right operator with the right vantage point has to decide to respond to the thread, and then he also needs to issue the right measurement, which is not always obvious which measurement you have to issue to each destination. And third, and most importantly, this approach limits the analysis that the operators can do. On another front, researchers have done a lot of work on better understanding the internet. So one researcher might want to study, for example, in boomerang routes. So he might have questions like, what routes from the US to the US go through Canada? And then he might want to, study this in a little more detail and ask, so does this happen more often from the East Coast to the West Coast, or from the West Coast to the East Coast, or are there routes from southern US that go all the way up to Canada and then back into the US, Mexico maybe? Or also maybe analyze this in different locations. So are there boomerang routes from Africa to Africa that go through Europe? So today, we approach this problem by collecting millions of trace routes and then post-processing them for the information that we need. In particular, we are used to making lots of measurements from PlanetLab and then going through them. But we know that PlanetLab is limited and biased toward research networks. And if you try to complement PlanetLab measurements with measurements from other platforms, you will find that the other platforms cannot make exhaustive measurements. So you're going to get just a few additional data. So today, researchers do not have the means to get the data they need to answer the questions they have. So these problems, both for operators and researchers, arise from the fact that we rely on traceroute. But traceroute is very limited. It only lets us ask one simple question. What is the route from this source that I control to this specific destination? Even though we grew used to asking this question, it's not always obvious from which source and to which destination we need to measure to get the information that we need. So we need a better tool to answer the questions that we have today. And this is why we built Sybil, a system that allows high-level queries over internet routes. So in Sybil, a user submits a query to the system that captures some route property he's interested in. The system will then go on and automatically decide which measurements to issue from which sources to which destinations so that the collected trace routes have the properties that the user wants. And then the system will ship these measurements back to the user. So the first thing we need to realize such a system is a way to express these queries. And we propose that we do this using regular expressions. So regular expressions allow rich semantics over sequences of characters, and we can extend them to allow rich semantics over sequences of traceroute hops. And we do this by letting users specify symbols that represent Boolean expressions that IP addresses must satisfy. So here I have two example symbols that check whether an IP address is inside level 3 in LA or inside GTT in Seattle. And we can combine these symbols to build regular expressions that check for route properties that we might be interested in. So going back to the previous example, an operator might write this regular expression to ask for routes that traverse level 3 in LA and then GTT in Seattle. So this regular expression means that we don't care where the route starts as long as it gets to level 3 in LA, and then it can go through any number of hops. As long as it gets to GTT in Seattle, it then can go anywhere. These regular expressions can capture all of the questions that I posed before, among many others. So a network operator can write this regular expression on the top to ask which routes go through the problematic GTT entity link to better understand the problem. And also, he can write regular expressions for the other questions. Similarly, a researcher can use these regular expressions to write questions about, to study boomerang routes or answer other research questions. OK, so now that you have this language to express queries in, how do we answer them? So it would be great if we had like total coverage over internet routes. And you might think that that's impossible, but let me show you how we can get somewhat close today. So in Sybil, we have vantage points in 100% of the large networks in the internet. And we also have coverage over 50% of the small and large networks. And we achieve this by combining multiple measurement platforms. So today, we integrate PlanetLab, Traceroute Service, and RIPE Atlas, and other platforms could be integrated as well. For those of you unfamiliar with RIPE Atlas, it's this measurement platform that deploys thousands of small little dongles that make network measurements. And people, they voluntarily host these dongles in their homes and in their networks. Now, because these measurement platforms, especially Traceroute Service and RIPE Atlas, they rely on volunteers, these measurement vantage points, they are resource constrained. And these constraints, they are fundamental because we cannot issue many measurements, otherwise you're going to impact the volunteers' network and then they might not host the measurement nodes for us. And in the end, this constrains the amount of measurements we can make, and then we cannot make all the measurements that we want. So to get an idea of the impact that these rate limits, have on the visibility we can get, we did an experiment where we chose 1,000 destinations at random, and then we issued trace routes from many of our vantage points to these 1,000 destinations. And then we looked at the number of AISs that we see in the middle on the routes from the vantage points to the destinations. So this is what I'm showing on this graph. On the y-axis, we have the CDF over the 1,000 destinations. And on the x-axis, we have the number of AISs that we saw on the routes from the vantage points through the destinations. The red line being close to vertical means that we see more or less the same number of AISs toward each destination. And this is between 600 and 700 AISs. Now, if we honor rate limits, we can issue less measurements toward each destination. And then we see significantly less route diversity. So the problem that we have is that we're building a real system that, works on the rate limits on the blue line, but we want to be able to answer queries as if we could issue any measurement at any time, as if we were operating on the red line. So how do we do this? In the main insight, is that we need to choose which measurements we're going to issue very carefully so that we make each measurement count toward answering queries, make effective use of our probing budget. But the first problem we have is that there are millions and millions of measurements to consider. We can't look at all of them when deciding which measurement we're going to issue. The first thing we need to do is to prune down the set of measurements that we're going to look at when deciding what to collect. So to get an idea of how Sybil does this, let's consider this query where a user is asking for routes that traverse networks A and B in sequence. So Sybil will look at its database of routing information and see what measurements it had collected in the past and what the query is asking for. So you might have two measurements from this vantage point on the bottom. They don't match the query. You might have four measurements from the vantage point at the top. They also don't match the query. But if you look at measurements from both nodes at the same time, we see that some measurements are related to the query. In particular, I have these two measurements that meet at network X. So Sybil will splice these two measurements and say that a measurement from vantage point V1 to destination D1 is a candidate for answering this query. And we do this in general for different queries and different pairs of vantage points by checking that the first measurement matches a prefix of the query, shown here in blue, and that the second measurement matches a suffix of the query, shown here in green. So this is just one possible splice point from vantage point V1 to destination D1, but there are many ways to splice paths from V1 to G1. So in practice, we need to decide which of these spliced paths is going to be found in practice when we issue the measurement. So how do we do this? So let me show you. So going back to some example, user wants a routes that traverse networks A and B. Siebel is going to consider issuing a measurement from the vantage point at the bottom to the destination on the right. And let's say that we found 4 possible spliced paths. Now, we have to compute what is the likelihood that each of these spliced paths is the true one. And here I'm showing these likelihoods as percentages and as line thickness. So how do we do this? So the input to this problem is the set of predicted spliced paths from a source to a destination. And the output is the probability that each spliced path is the true one. So we approach this problem by looking at the spliced path's properties as features, and then we use machine learning to tell us which of the spliced paths are likely to be true and which of the spliced paths are likely to be wrong. So after we train the machine learning technique and perform feature selection, we find among the most important features for prediction AS peering relationships and route length. And these two relate directly to the BGP route decision process. So now that we have this mechanism to compute the likelihood that each spliced path is a true one, Siebel will compute the global likelihood that a measurement, if issued from the vantage point at the bottom to the destination on the right, will match the query. So here we see that 3 of the spliced paths, they do go through networks A and B, so they do match the query, and they are very likely. There is only one spliced path that doesn't match the query, doesn't go through network B, the one at the bottom, but it only has 10% probability of being seen in practice. So this seems like a good measurement to issue to try to answer this query. The system also considers measurements from other locations. So it might consider measurements from the vantage point at the top, and then it's going to do the same thing. It's going to predict, see all spliced paths, and then compute likelihood that each one is the true one, and then compute the global likelihood of matching. And in this case, the likelihood of matching the query is very small because there's only one spliced path that go through networks A and B, and it's not very likely, only 10% chance. So the system will prefer the previous measurement over this one. So when we look at how well we do when computing these likelihoods of matching a query, we see that we do pretty well. So on this graph here, I'm showing the estimated likelihood of matching a query, which I just showed you how we compute. And each of these dots aggregate many predictions from many different queries. On the y-axis, I'm showing you the fraction of measurements that actually match the query if we were to issue them. So what we see is that there is a linear relationship between the estimated and the real likelihood of matching a query. What this boils down to is that when Siebel is choosing which measurements to issue, and it will choose the measurements with higher estimated likelihood of matching a query, Siebel gets the measurements with higher probability of matching the query for real. So it makes effective use of the budget that it has. In the paper, you will also find how we optimize the use of our budget across a large set of queries to maximize the utility that we get from the trace route measurements that we are going to issue. You'll also find how we use the measurements we collect to patch our routing database to keep up with path changes. So we evaluated Siebel over multiple rounds, and each round has a fixed duration. So each round the system has a budget to use, and we generate a number of queries to match that budget. And we generate random queries in such a way that we know that the query can be satisfied as long as if Siebel finds the right trace route to issue. So here, each round is an independent trial with a new set of queries. And then for each round, we check the fraction of queries that we can satisfy. So on this graph, I'm showing on the x-axis rounds, so this is time. And on the y-axis, I'm showing the fraction of queries that we can satisfy. And this green line here shows the fraction of queries we are able to satisfy if we issue exhaustive measurements from PlanetLab, which is a common approach today. And we see that we can get 52% of the queries that we generated. If you add on top of the PlanetLab measurements, random measurements from RIPE Atlas and TraceRoute servers, you will get more data, and then you will be able to answer a few more queries, 4% here. But, not many additional queries. If you use Siebel with the same probing budget as on the red line, you can answer 75% of the queries. And the main difference here is that Sybil will smartly decide which measurement to issue to answer the queries that it has that round. So to summarize, I've shown how we don't need to be tied to traceroute, how we can use this more intuitive interface to ask the questions that we want, and we've built a system that can identify which measurements to issue to get us that information. I'd like to finish my talk by saying that we are working on getting Sybil online and available to network operators and researchers. Thank you, and I'm happy to take questions.
I really like this work. So quick question. When you're doing the machine learning prediction with a spliced path is actually an actual one, you're using some database of previous paths you've observed, right? Yeah. Is there some notion of freshness where those attributes you learn for figuring out whether a spliced path is kind of accurate or a real one changes? So the queries you issue and the results you get aren't really the ones being the paths being used currently.
Okay, So I have two answers to that. The first one is we can regenerate the prediction, the prediction model periodically, just to keep, let's say the topology changes, right? So the prediction model might change, so we can retrain it periodically, because retraining doesn't take that much time. So and the topology doesn't change so fast, so that's not a problem. The other point is, in the paper we also talk about how we update the topology to try to keep up with path changes. So every time we see a path change, then we might update other paths as well, just because they're very similar.
Luis Pedroza, USC, a quick question. So the previous question was asking about freshness that you use of the data you use about routes for the predictions. But I could also imagine that given your tight budget on how many trace routes you can issue, that you might want to cache some of those trace routes. And if it would be useful for another measurement, and it's really fresh, like 2 seconds ago, but now you no longer have budget to repeat that one for a different user, have you considered doing that? And if that actually augments your ability to get more out of the same amount of trace routes you have in your quota?
Right. So this is one of the things we are looking at when we try to make the system like online, bring it online, is what do we do when we get more queries than we can answer right now because we don't have enough budget? And what you suggested, like giving to the user an answer based on a previous measurement, might be something that we could try. So if a measurement is very recent, for example, and we don't think there's a high probability that the path has changed, we might tell the user, so I don't have budget to issue a measurement right now, but this is what I saw a few minutes ago.
So long as you tell the user that it's a little less than completely fresh.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.